Well, Merry Christmas. Be reading from Matthew chapter 2. If you have a Bible, you can grab it and turn to Matthew 2, or grab one in front of the basket and the chairs in front of you. But as you turn there, let's begin our time in prayer. Father, we are so grateful and thankful that we get to gather and celebrate and declare the truth and the reality of your coming to mankind on a rescue mission some 2,000 years ago. God, we ask that you would help us to see you this Christmas in the midst of the hustle, the presents and the traditions and the foods and all the things that we tend to pursue. God, help us to slow down at least to see you, the real reason for our time. Help us to realize our need for Jesus, our need for the rescue from our sin, and help us to continually celebrate the fact that you have made a way of life and life eternally and life abundantly for your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight closes our Advent series. Over the last 4 weeks, we have been going through different themes for our Advent time together, themes of joy, love, peace, and hope that God brings us during the Christmas season. And as we've been saying each week, Advent simply means arrival. It is a time for Christians to celebrate the arrival of Jesus. And as we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, it's important to have context so that we know exactly who it is that we are celebrating. Who is Jesus? That is fundamentally the most important question each person must answer during their lifetime. And in Matthew 2, we are given a glimpse into who this child is just by way of the gifts that were given to Jesus upon his birth. And so this evening, it's not going to be too long, I just want us to look at one of the more implicit texts and take Matthew 2 and its passage and that displays a little of who Jesus is just in the gifts that he received the night in which he was born. So Matthew 2, starting in verse 6. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you had found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." So here, the passage that we read, we kind of jump into the middle of a really crazy story. And so to give context, in the Bible, the book of Numbers, chapter 24, there you'll see it declares a messianic prophecy, predicting a great king, a star that would rise out of Jacob, meaning God's people, who would definitively crush the enemies of God's people. And in Matthew chapters 1 and 2, we see the fulfillment of that prophecy taking place. King Jesus being born and a star sitting atop of his birthplace. We're then introduced to the wise men from the east. They follow the star and they find themselves in Jerusalem. And they start going around the city of Jerusalem asking everyone around them, where is this newborn king of the Jews that would be born of the star in which we have followed? But there's a bit of a problem as they're going around and asking about this newborn king, because there's kind of already a king. There's an evil king that history identifies as Herod the Great. He is the Roman king of the province of Judea at this time. And Herod hears word of people asking about a new king that was born. And he hears word of this king being born from the Jews, born right in his own backyard of Bethlehem. And so now, as you can imagine, Herod is threatened. He does not want to take any chances that some crazy Jewish prophecy might have an ounce of truth to it, that there would be a rival king that would come and rule over the Edomites, the text says, and actually Herod is a descendant of the Edomites. And so he schemes and he devises a plan. He wants to find this child, this newborn king, and kill him, eliminating any possibility of competition for his throne. And so Herod, not wanting others to know of his plan, he instructs the wise men under the ruse of wanting to see and worship this new Jewish king personally. He says to the wise men, hey, when you guys find him, let me know. I would love to join you in worship with you guys. We'll make a night of this. I'll provide the lights, the lasers, and the fogs. We'll listen to some Hillsong and Bethel, because Herod is the type of guy who would listen to that kind of heresy. And so Herod sends these wise men off to Bethlehem in search of the newborn king that, in truth, he actually wants to kill. Well, the wise men eventually find Jesus, and instantly they were overwhelmed by who this king, child king, was. They responded with worship and sacrifice, and they give Jesus three gifts, and we see that in verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We read of the three gifts that were given to Jesus on the night in which he was born. And the Bible is full of so many details that if we look into them, we'll see the power and the sovereignty of God, who is orchestrating and detailing and creating all things for his glory. And so each three of these gifts were significant in what the gifts were and what they represented as these gifts displayed who Jesus really is. So we read the first gift that was given to Jesus by these wise men was gold. And in this time of history, gold was reserved for deities and kings. When a new king was inaugurated during first century Palestine, it was social protocol for everyone to come and bring the king, this newly inaugurated king, the gift of gold, because it symbolized kingship. And in many ways, the kings of those times were deities. They were God. They were on par with the gods. And so with Jesus, the giving of gold points to the fact that Jesus, in that moment, was recognized as both God and king. The second gift that was given to Jesus was frankincense. And frankincense is an aromatic incense that was typically given to the Jewish high priests to use during religious temple services. So the Levitical line of priests, there was declared one, the great high priest, who would go into the Holy of Holies and make sacrifice and intercession for mankind and their sins. And in the process, they were given this special frankincense in the ritual and ceremony of making sacrifice. And so the giving of frankincense to Jesus on this night that he was born declared to those around him and to us that Jesus is the true high priest, that he is the one priest and the only needed priest to be the mediator between God and man, the one who would plead on your behalf to God, who had unhindered access to the Holy of Holies, who had unhindered access to the presence of God, to God himself, and he would stand before God and plead your case, innocent, forgiven, take my blood upon you as sacrifice and receive them as forgiven and holy. And then the third and final gift of myrrh. Myrrh was an anointing oil that was used as an embalming agent in biblical times. It anointed the dead. And this gift represented the fact that Jesus was to die and to be our sacrifice. And these three gifts indicate clearly just who Jesus is. He is the God King, he is the one great high priest, and he is the ultimate sacrifice for all who would believe. And so what does that mean for us, especially in light of Christmas and what we celebrate during this time of the year? Well, it means that Christmas is the tangible evidence that Jesus has come to save us. You and I are desperately in need of rescue. All of us are broken because of our volitional sin. We willingly turned our backs on God, seeking to be in control of ourselves and our lives and our wants and our desires. And in doing so, we brought destruction to both our souls and to this world and to everything around us. But Christmas gives us hope. The birth of Jesus is the most militant, aggressive, violent, divine invasion that this world, into the brokenness of this world, that the world has ever seen and known. And on that night, 2,000 some years ago, the death of death was assured. On that night, all that binds us, all that destroys us, all that oppresses us, all of the sin and the evil in the world was now in the crosshairs of the great high king. The beachhead was established in Bethlehem to drive out of the world everything that is dark and evil and sinful. Jesus, being the God King, means he is powerful enough to save you. And Jesus, being the priest and sacrifice, means that he is willing to save you. And Christmas is proof that God took your sin seriously. And he took his love and commitment for you seriously. And he established his kingdom with your arrival, the first advent of a king. And so because of that truth, your future is bright. It is full of hope and peace and joy and love and ultimately full of Jesus the Christ. If you are a child of God, you have those realities forever promised to you. You have a certainty to hold on to. That peace, joy, hope, and love in its fullness will be yours forever if you have given your life to Jesus. And surrendering your power and control of your life to God, you will experience a power unlike any other. And we celebrate the advent of that truth and the birth of a Savior and rescuer, Jesus. So this Christmas, the time where we celebrate Christ being born, I remind you of the whole point is that God shows himself faithful to do what he says he's going to do. That prophecy that was fulfilled 2,000 years ago, Jesus being born, proves God's faithfulness. It proves God's provision for you, and it proves God's love for his people. And so as you participate in all of your Christmas activities and traditions, keep them in proper perspective. They are not the point. They are but shadows and symbols that ought to point and draw you closer to Jesus and his mercy and his grace and his love that are available to you if you would see him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and your mercy that is evidenced at the incarnation, evidenced in the coming of your Son being born 2,000 years ago on Christmas night. Help us as we move forward with our time with family and celebration and our traditions, or maybe for some of us, and the heartbreak that the holiday seasons might bring. God, we want to focus on you, the giver of real peace, the giver of real hope, the giver of real joy and real love. Help us to keep Christ at the center of Christmas. We ask this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.